it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Right, we're back in Miller Park in Milwaukee. The Orioles here tonight trying to get back in the win column after dropping the first two here against the Brewers. And last night, there's a new addition to the Oriole family. There's now a new little Tillman running around, or at least will be shortly. We'll come back with Buck Showalter and the Geico Manager's Report right after this.
Talked to Chris today. Baby last night, a little bit after 8 pounds, Charlotte. He went to the field stadium day and worked out, threw some. Talk about him getting over to Bowie tomorrow and having a work day. He's going to wait and see if his wife's going to go, they're going to let her go home. It's either today or tomorrow. I expect him to join us in Minnesota sometime. If he can get over and take a work day, then it creates some options for us. What else was announced today?
Flaherty moved into 60. Doesn't it change anything anyway because he was still a ways away?
Well, he was making room for Britton off the 60. So Flaherty, he would not have been ready the next 12 days, and that's what it amounts to. So Chris feels good. He's really making progress. I feel good about his chances to join us soon.
Rehab schedule yet?
Yeah, I'm trying not to jinx this, but let's put it this way. He's going to be playing baseball during the All-Star break. He wants to do it tomorrow.
Tillman, is there any thought to just letting him, not pitch till after the All-Star break, given just...
There's some thought given to it because of necessity, but I'd like to, in a perfect way, I'd like to see him start one more time. It's not like, there's a clear separation of somebody that's pitching real, real well enough to run them out there. And then in some cases, we're trying to give those guys a little extra rest. Roger and I were going over the post-All-Star, the way we're coming out. We'll take a few other things into consideration after we watch some guys pitch.
Trumbo have any other tests on the knee, or was it just that one X-ray?
Had the X-ray. No, he's a lot better today. We were a little concerned that it might hold him out today, but they got in there and kept it from, really knotting up. He got a pretty good lick there. I could tell when he came out of the batter's box, it was one of those that you wait for the sting to go away after about 20 seconds. It wasn't going away. It really tightened up all the way between innings. When Mark Trumbo tells you, might want to get me out of there, he's got some problems. Tough guy. I think guys get hammered. I wish y'all would take a hammer and go hit yourself about 4 times a week on the shin or the foot or the toe. We got like 2 or 3 guys without their toenail from that nobody even talks about.
Speaking of Castillo, have you seen anything different from him at the plate kind of since he came back from his most recent injury? He was pretty consistent before that. He seems a little different.
I don't think he's seeing the ball real well, especially the breaking ball. You can tell that he's committing real early to something. If you look at his track record over his career, he's very similar. He'll have some good spurts where he'll get back up there, but he's a pretty good hitter for a long time statistically. It hadn't been there for him since this last little bout on the DL.
I talked to a couple guys in there. Manny only turns 25 tomorrow with all the accomplishments that he's had so far. How does this season kind of jive with what he's done in the past and what he could do in the future, given some of the struggles he's had?
Manny's a pretty humble guy from humble beginnings. A lot of people don't realize. It's not like this game he needs humbling. That's not the case at all. The things that don't break you completely, in the long run, they're kind of good for you, but you don't want them to last very long. And I was real proud of the double play he turned last night. Now, you know how frustrated he is at the plate. This game will make you feel like you've never played it before. And then all of a sudden, it'll slow down, and it's like, well, it's pretty easy. But I don't think anything's ever easy at this level. The pitching's so good. I don't think Manny's he's a lot stronger mentally than people think, but this game will put you on your heels too. It's tough. Not that he needed that either. But I'm just saying it reminds everybody that I don't care how talented you are that there's some things like that you're going to go through like this. It's frustrating for me and us to watch, because we know how much better he's capable of.
We're back at Miller Park in Milwaukee tonight. Play baseball indoors. The roof is closed. Jason Aquino tonight will make his second Orioles start this season. And Matt Garza pitching for Milwaukee. Garza has won just 3 games all season, but he's had just 1 victory in his last 6 decisions. Mike Bordick will continue. The warm-up show is next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Oh, welcome back to Miller Park. Earlier today, I talked with Orioles assistant hitting coach Howie Clark about his transition from player to coach and now big league coach. Now that'll be up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Well, today's special guest here on the show is Howie Clark, assistant hitting coach and former teammate of mine back in the day with the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays, parts of 6 years and a long time in the minor leagues. So very experienced, obviously, at the major league level, and this year over the winter named as the Orioles assistant hitting coach. Thanks for being on the show, Howie.
Yeah, thanks, Bordy. Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts here on the first half of the season. First of all, just, I don't know, as your first year at the major league level as a coach.
Yeah, it's definitely been a learning experience, you know, trying to settle into the role and understanding what is required of me and learning the players. You know, I think a lot of it is just developing trust and a rapport with the players and learning what they want and knowing the right time to you know, share some insight or give my viewpoint on certain situations. They also have Scott Coolbaugh, who's done a great job and who knows these guys really well. And, you know, many times it's easier to defer to him because he has a more developed relationship with the guys. But, you know, the funny thing is baseball is baseball. There really aren't too many secrets when it comes to a swing or hitting. A lot of it is mindset, and a lot of it is keeping guys in the right frame of mind and focused on the task and keeping it, knowing what the end goal is, which is to try to get out there and win baseball games. So it's very easy to get distracted and try to hyper-focus on things that may or may not be significant. But, you know, baseball is the same game as when we played little league, high school, if you played college, minor league, and the big league. So it's very easy to make it complicated. I just try to keep it simple.
And all your experience, obviously, as a professional baseball player, Did you used to pick managers' minds or hitting coaches' minds and kind of, I guess, learn from them along the way? And was there anybody that you kind of adopted their philosophy?
It's a good question. When I started playing, we only had a manager and a pitching coach, you know, so the manager was kind of all-encompassing. And when I was coming up, I don't think I picked their brain as much as they suggested stuff to me. But when I got a few years in, I started to realize just using my teammates, it was a good resource. I think there's something valuable to bouncing ideas off of your teammates. I think they see it in a different light. And as a coach, you have to be, you need to be cautious for them not to feel like they have to take your advice and run with it. You know, a lot of it is suggestions, and it's almost, you have to understand that as a coach, you may say something that can be taken literally, and it's you have to be very clear in what your message is. But for me, I feel like I had the best whenever I could speak with a teammate, and kind of we would just kind of bounce things back and forth. And that was kind of what was cool about the minor leagues, is you always had a roommate. And so, you know, the game ended and you went home and you could kind of bounce some ideas off and talk it out. And a lot of times, just talking about the game, you would say, oh yeah, you know what, I kind of got away from doing this. Or you would try things. They would maybe relate their philosophy, and it would make sense. Other than that, of course, Terry Crowley, who was our hitting coach with the Orioles, was really good. And, you know, he was one of those guys who just kept it positive and really made you believe in yourself. And I think there's tremendous value in that, because when things aren't going your way, you can think you're a lot worse off than you are, and many times it's just letting you know that you're really close to getting back to where you'd like to be. So just creating that good, positive, energetic environment, I think, is key.
So you came up through the minor leagues with the Orioles as a coach, and you mentioned the mental part of the game. Now, at each level of development, obviously, a little bit different, and it must be different for you as a coach, and now at the major league level, the process going from more, I guess, fundamentals of hitting, physical, and I guess more mental at the major league level.
Yeah, definitely. My first year in 2015 was in Delmarva, the South Atlantic League, so you have a lot of guys playing in their first full season, you know, where they've come from college, where they're playing three, four games a week, And then now they're in the mix playing, you know, every day. And the minor league schedule is pretty grueling. It's a little shorter than the big league schedule, but there are less days off. And, you know, the travel's not as nice. But it's trying to get them to have, you could say, routine, or just to understand what it means to prepare to play a game. And it doesn't necessarily mean taking 1,000 swings or 1,000 ground balls, but it's identifying where you need to possibly allocate more time and attention, and just be mindful of that all the time, and know that it's a long season. But if you put the time and effort, the focus and concentration into your skill set, and just try to get a little bit better every day, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna see that over the course of a 5-6 month season, and then bouncing or jumping forward to last year in Double A, you know, and now I've played with, or now there's guys who've played multiple seasons in the minor leagues. We had Julio Borbón, who had significant time in the big leagues, and so there's a really different mix of guys of where they are at different points in their career, but essentially they still want to get to the big leagues. So I think there is where you can individualize and kind of try to keep guys focused and let them know, like, hey, these guys have played long enough to know what their skill set is and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And I always thought it's important to emphasize, like, knowing your strengths and always having that be something that can show up on a daily basis, because, you know, if you're an exceptional outfielder, you want to definitely keep those skills as sharp as can be, because there is a need for that potentially. And it doesn't mean neglect the weaknesses or the areas that you need to work on, but it's just something that can catch a scout's eye and can be of immediate use for the big leaguers. So it was different. And then fast forwarding to this year, you know, these are major leaguers, and you know, everything, the information and everything's on video, and there's all of this advance work. And so it's really challenging to kind of sift through that and to be able to use that information in a positive way and not be paralyzed by it, because I think that is a very fine line that players walk, is they take all this information and they want to apply it all, and it can definitely lock you up. So, you know, take some information that you use valuable, and then go with your daily preparation, because, I mean, playing the game is hard enough, let alone with all these other numbers and percentages going on in your head.
That's some great coaching insight right there from Howie Clark, Orioles assistant hitting coach, longtime professional baseball player, and now on his way as a major league coach. Thanks for spending your time today here on the show, Howie.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Borny. Appreciate it.
Well, O's trying to salvage this series with a win today, as Jason Aquino looking for his second win. He'll face Matt Garza. Joe, well, what do you think about this matchup?
Well, I think somebody's going to win this thing today. Somebody's got to win the ball game here tonight. I will say this, and Borty, I think you'll concur. The Oriole bullpen today gets a lot stronger, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, now the idea is to get the game to Britain somehow.
Certainly the key right there. You hope Aquino has a good game, gets deep into the ball game. His first start of the year, of course, went 6 innings. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, Jason Aquino, his only victory this season came against the Boston Red Sox, and for that reason, we love him. So tonight, the finale in Milwaukee, indoors at Miller Park. Stay tuned. Oriole baseball is next. Right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick back in Milwaukee at Miller Park, and in the loss column again tonight as they get shut out in the finale. Milwaukee wins it. A score 4-0 as Matt Garza, the veteran right-hander, tonight goes 6 1/3 scoreless. Now, the Orioles in the game went 0-7 with runners in scoring position. Now, they had some opportunities early in the game but could not cash in on those opportunities. Meanwhile, Milwaukee, 4 runs on 6 hits. Jason Aquino, the Orioles starter, went 5 1/3. He gave up 3 earned runs. And really, you can make a case that the only mistake he made tonight was a home run ball to Broxton, a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 4th inning. And even that really wasn't that bad a pitch. The other one was unearned. And then the other run that Milwaukee was able to score came on a ground ball deflected by Tejada out into shallow left field. Otherwise, that run would not have scored as well. So I think Aquino tonight did a good job, gave him a chance to win. But, the Orioles offensively, not a whole lot going on. They scored 3 runs in the 3 games in Milwaukee. Very tough to win that way. And the postgame show is brought to you by Browns Honda City. By Happy with Browns. Yeah, Milwaukee had the early lead. The Orioles, though, had some noise, some chances early in the game. First inning, Machado a double with only one out, but they went 0-for-2 after that. In the second inning, they had the bases loaded with nobody out, but then Tejada struck out, Aquino struck out, and Smith came up to hit. Garza, again, he's ready. And delivered. Fly ball, right field. Not deep enough. Santana back to his right to make the catch. That's it. Orioles had the bases loaded, nobody out. They do not score.
Just want a few more opportunities. At least they're getting guys on base.
Yep, you just can't cash in early in the game. Yoel Aquino, 1-2-3 first. And then the second inning, he gave up a leadoff double to Travis Shaw. But then with two outs and with Travis Shaw in scoring position, Broxton came up to hit. He hit a ground ball to third base. A ball that Machado, I would say 99 out of 100, he makes the play. Broxton, ground ball to third. Machado tried to backhand it. The ball gets right past him. Chasing it down is Tejada. But here comes Shaw. He will score on a ball that Machado whiffed on as he tried to make a backhand grab. The ball got by him, and it's a 1-0 Milwaukee lead. So there you go. Unearned run, and little did we know at the time that that for Milwaukee would be plenty as they win it 4-0 in the third inning. Aquino, a real good inning. The 2-2 pitch. Got him looking. Strike three called. Little breaking ball again.
Yeah, beautiful breaking ball there up in the top of the zone. Little knee buckler for Mr. Thames, and Aquino walking off the mound on that call.
There you go. Jason Aquino struck out the side in the third inning. He's got four strikeouts now in three innings of work. The other came back in the fourth inning, gave up a double to Braun to get the inning started. And with one out, Santana came up to hit. He hit a ground ball that Tejada almost got to. Aquino, long look, he comes home. Santana, ground ball. Tejada dives. He cannot get to it. That ball glances off the glove. And now Braun's being waved in. Here's the throw from Smith. It is wide and late. And Braun has scored on a ball that got through the infield. It's a 2-0 Milwaukee lead. Yeah, and a ball that Tejada deflected and slowed down on its way out toward left field. So the run scores after Pena popped out. That's when Broxton came up to hit and really put the game away. Now Aquino, he delivers to Broxton, who sends a fly ball to deep left center. Adam Jones is way back there. That ball is gone. Broxton, 2-run home run. And now 4-0 Milwaukee. So the Orioles had another opportunity in the seventh inning after a double by Seth Smith. But then Machado, a ground out. Manny in the game tonight, 1-for-4 with a double early in the game. At that point, the Orioles were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. So they lose the game, but the game was significant tonight because it marked the return of Zach Britton. They had the 1-0 pitch. Braun taps it out toward Manny. He'll charge it. He'll field it. He'll look at it. And then throws it to get the out. So that's it. Well, good to see Zach Britton back to work. Now the bullpen tonight got a whole lot better. Yeah, but the offense, not. Britton, by the way, faced five batters. He gave up a hit and a walk, but he escaped unscathed. And eventually it was Knable, the Milwaukee All-Star, who ended the game, even though he did give up a couple of hits in that ninth inning. 0-2 the count. And here it comes. Fastball upstairs. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Ball game ends. Knable ends it with a strikeout. In fact, he ends it by striking out the side. And the Orioles have been swept in Milwaukee. The Brewers win all three in the loss column again tonight. And now we head to Minnesota to try to break out of it. We'll continue right after this. In the loss column tonight, they lose this one 4-0. Orioles, they scored just three runs in the three games in Milwaukee. So the offense right now is non-existent. After the game, Buck Showalter over on Masson.
How about Jason Aquino came back, gave you a pretty good start. What'd you see?
No, he was good. Good. We gave him two runs. He presented himself real well. I was impressed, just like I thought he would. Really working on really 2 or 3 days rest at the most. And even though we shortened him up last time, he pitched real well. Deserved a better fate. And we didn't play well behind him defensively, but I was really impressed with Jason. Proud of him.
One of the things he did tonight, we saw this a lot in spring training at Sarasota. He really attacked the hitters, didn't he? He pounded the strike zone.
Well, he's got some personality to his game, and he attacks people. guys like playing behind him, should like playing behind him. He's, you know, was aggressive with his fastball, changeup, was there to defend himself against the right-hand lineups he's going to see in the major leagues. His slider's gotten a lot better. Our player development people have done a good job with him.
And the slider to Broxton, I guess that was the only one that it didn't go where you wanted it to?
Oh, I wouldn't say the only one. There's probably some that we got away with, just like their guy. But, no, he didn't make many mistakes. He was reason why we had a chance.
And it was good to get Zach in there, a non-pressure situation for him, but to get that first one out of the way?
Well, maybe not statistically what inning and what the score is, but it's pressure right. for him. You know, first time back in a long time, and I'm sure he had some nerves there a little bit, but getting the line drive off the glove will kind of wake him up, but not wake him up, but just kind of get your blood flowing. But no, it was good to get his feet on the ground. Brad needed to pitch tonight. He had had 4 days off, so just didn't. I thought the idea of him waiting around another day or two before he pitched, I think the sooner the better.
And you had some chances at the plate, 10 men left on base, but again, the big hit just wasn't there for you.
Well, it's one thing in the National League. You're sitting there early in the game with the bases low. We can't get a ball put in play there in the eight hole. We've got to put a ball in play there and not get it to the pitcher spot. And then, you know, you got the shot of getting out of it with two outs with Seth up. So, you know, that was probably the key part of it. But we set some things up, but not much. I continue to give credit to their pitching. You know, they're playing real well. That's why they're in first place. But we're not doing many things very well.
All right, Buck, appreciate the visit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Zach Britton did make his return tonight. That was certainly good to see. Britton came out in the seventh inning, got the first out, and gave up a single to Perez. Then he got Villar on a ground ball. He then walked Thames, and so Milwaukee had a couple of base runners against him. But then he got Ryan Braun on a ground ball to Machado at third base. So Britton, on his return, five batters, gave up a hit and a walk, but he was not scored upon.